Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The text is from the gospel lesson just read, St. Luke, the 20th chapter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Either we have been just left behind in the rapture, or today is a really good day to preach the resurrection. Yes, the world is coming to an end, but it's not yet the last moment of the last day. For if it were, Jesus Christ would be raising us and all the dead and giving eternal life to all believers in him. Instead, this moment we hear the record of God's word speaking to the Sadducees who believed that there was no resurrection. The Sadducees were labeled the just because they said of themselves, "We do not serve God for the sake of reward." Oh, they did serve, but they served in the temple cult. For the Sadducees, there was no resurrection. There were no angels, nor archangels, nor was there even a company of heaven. Rather, these Sadducees were the liberal, loose thinkers who believed what they believed and what they believed was what everyone should believe, and everyone else be damned. John the Baptist had called them out prior to the baptism of Christ, saying, "Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham." On that day of the baptism and on this day before Christ, they were not before him to bear fruit in accordance with repentance. This brood, rather band of Sadducees, came harmoniously to ask Jesus a question. But in this case, the question was hid in a deceit-riddled tune and text, and it was composed of one woman and seven X's for a refrain. And all the X's were delivered before the one and only climactic verse. Their riddling song was slyly conveyed thusly: "So Jesus, Rabbi, teacher, if we were to state seven times the absurdity of the resurrection, which you profess, then would you come to your senses and cease to proclaim the resurrection of the dead?" That's uneven meter, of course. How obtuse we find this questioning. Who are these ancient Sadducees, these liberals who dare to quote only pieces and parts of Scripture to satisfy their own desires, intents, and purposes? How dare they question who is married to whom? Are they trying to be the proof text for equal rights in marriage? The delivery of the question was, of course, only meant to be a straw man designed to trap and embarrass Jesus. Saints Matthew and Mark record Jesus' response: "You are wrong, for you neither know the Scriptures nor the power of God." Augustine further paraphrased, "In the resurrection, they marry neither husbands nor wives, for neither do they start dying again, but they will be equal to the angels of God. And really, the Sadducees had perverted the marriage question anyhow by involving multiple bodies, not the disemboweled souls in heaven prior to the resurrection of the dead on the last day. Jesus said, even Moses showed that the dead rise, for he calls the Lord the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, and the God of Isaac. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive. The Sadducees' myopic tune turned to the sounds of silence. And we say, good for you, Jesus. You've silenced the unbelievers of the Lamb and the resurrection of the dead. It is as if Christ had said, you don't believe in the resurrection? Don't you remember me saying, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me shall never die. Oh, how we love to hate those Sadducees, and we love to hear them fall silent. Yet there's plenty of comeuppance for us. There's plenty to go around in our sin. For all who do not confess Christ or who deny him, we are liars. Wait, we're not like them, are we? We believe in the resurrection. But do we know the scriptures and the power of God? Do we not also hedge, fall silent, fail to live and defend the word of God when the scriptures are pointed out by friends, family, and this world, and even when we fall silent, that these are stories or they are events and they're completely beyond human reason? Doesn't our deep-seated fear of death cause us to eat, drink, and be merry because we'll know tomorrow we shall surely die? Luther stated, reason does no more than merely observe the facts as they appear to the eye, namely, that the world has stood so long that one person dies after another, remains dead, decomposes, and crumbles to dust in the grave, from which nobody we know has ever returned. Repent, for Jesus Christ burst into this world, the incarnate Son of the Father, begotten, not made, born of the Virgin Mary, was crucified, died, and was buried. And on the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. His life, his death, his resurrection, all for our sinful insurrections. The power of God in the scriptures is that Jesus Christ died for you and for your sins. And so the church may pray this day and every day boldly to God. In baptism, you have united us with your Son Jesus, that his death and his resurrection may become our death and our resurrection. In baptism, you have died to sin, and you now live to Christ. In the holy sacrament of our Lord, Jesus' body and blood is given and poured out for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Though you may think it, and yesterday you may have wished it, and some may still today wish it, the end of the world is not yet this moment of this day. And if it were, rejoice that we are made alive in God's promise delivered in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For now and forevermore, he is not the God of the dead, but of the living, and all live to him. In Jesus' name, amen.